Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. You know, I believe that being a mother is the greatest job on earth. I believe it's really in a lot of ways to a child more important than the father, because a child's personality is completely formed by age 5. And the mother spends most of that time with the child. So the child's personality is developed and driven more by the mother than by the father. And of course, on Father's Day, he will tell you that the father's the most important person in their life. But I believe the mother's the most important. And so I just want to say what an honor and a privilege it is to be a mother and to have all of you mothers here today. I want to tell you a little story. There was this little girl, she was 5 years old, and her mother dropped her off at her grandparents to babysit her, and the grandmother had to go somewhere and left the little girl with the grandfather. So she had a birthday party, and she had got this little tea set. So she goes and she makes tea. She wants to have a tea party with the grandfather. And so she brings him a cup of tea. And of course, it's water, but he drinks it and tells her that's the best tea he ever drank. And so she goes and gets him another cup and comes back. And this goes on for a long time. Finally, the grandmother walks in the door and comes home. And he says, look what your granddaughter can do. She can make tea. And she brought him a cup of tea and drank it. And the grandmother said, there's only one place in this house she can get water. The toilet. Because, see, mothers and grandmothers are just extremely intelligent when it comes to children. This little child went to their father and said, did you know that mothers are smarter than fathers? And the father said, no, I didn't know that. And she said, see, I told you, Mama knew that. So, if you're a mother, pat yourself on the back that today you are the smartest when it comes to your children. Now, you may not be the smartest about everything else, but when it comes to children, you're a lot smarter than that father. You know, the Bible says that, when that child was born to you, you were given a gift from God, and it's called pastor. You are the pastor of your little flock. The word pastor means to nurture and to form and to take care of and provide for and protect. And so every child that is born, when that child is born, the mother is given, fathers too, a gift of pastoring. And our major job in life is to pastor that child. Because, see, we are to minister to our generation, but we are to prepare the next generation to minister to their generation. I'm not supposed to reach my children's peers or my grandchildren's peers. I'm to reach my peers. But my job is to prepare my children and my grandchildren to reach their generation. And so it's very important that we understand that we teach our children that they're born with an absolute purpose. And that purpose is to love God, to live for God, and to reach their generation. There's many things that we could talk about for mothers this morning. So many. All you have to do is read Proverbs 31. But we're going to just pick three this morning. We're going to talk about the teaching mother, the rejoicing mother, and the praying mother. And I'm going to talk to you about the teaching mother. In Genesis 18, it said that God chose Abraham. Abraham is called the father of faith. He's also called the friend of God because the Bible says, I have chosen him because I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. And so one of the greatest men in all the Bible was chosen because he would be a great father and teach his children the ways of God. And so the greatest calling in God's eyes for us is to teach our children to love God. Jesus was a great teacher. Everywhere he went, he taught. He went to the Sabbath, to the synagogue every Sabbath. They went on Saturday. We go on Sunday because of resurrection. But he taught when he was sitting around eating a meal with his disciples, he was teaching them. When they were walking from town to town, he was teaching them. Because he understood that unless we teach the next generation, how else are they going to know? How else are they going to know? In Deuteronomy it says, and what great nation is there, such as this nation, talking about the kingdom of God, that has such wonderful laws? Only take heed to yourself and be diligent, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen and they depart from your heart, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. So all the wonderful things that we know and that we've seen in our lifetime about God, we are commanded to teach those to our children. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and your strength, and you and with all your heart, soul, and strength. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking on the way, that would be now riding in your cars, when you lay down at night, and when you get up in the morning. That's when you're fixing supper and setting out the supper table. You're talking about God and His ways. When you get up in the morning and you're doing breakfast, you're talking about God and His ways. When you're in your car on the way to school and work, you're talking to your kids about God. Because it takes, what, few years we have our children at home to put enough in them. Because the world is always trying to pull it out of them. Always trying to pull it out of them. The next thing we want to teach our children is to sing the songs of the Lord. We want to teach them the Word of God all the time and the rewards that come from obeying that word. And then we want to teach them to sing the songs of the Lord. And the Lord said, now therefore, write, he's talking to Moses, write down this song yourself and teach it to your children and put it in their mouths. And this song will remind them of me. And when it shall be, when evil comes and trouble comes, this song will remind them of me, and it will not be forgotten in the mouths of your children. So Moses sung this song and taught it to the children. And see, it is so important for us to teach our children to sing the songs of the Lord. Right, Vanny? Two generations is more. That was Vanny's grandbaby. And I remember when Erica was little, her mama and her singing all over the house. And now, and you just pass it on through generations. Because, see, if you're sitting around the house singing songs about drinking and smoking and taking drugs, and what are your children going to do? It's so ignorant to me, the music parents bring into their house and teach their children. Singing in the car, going down the road. Every country song about is just about drinking, running around on your mate, or taking drugs. And all rock and roll songs are about drugs. I was singing songs about drugs before I ever knew what a drug was. One toke over the line, sweet Jesus. Proud Mary. We had no idea those were drug songs. They're coming out of our mouth, and we were dancing to them and singing them and wondering why we grew a generation of drug-using children. You know, we have to teach our children the songs of the Lord. They need to hear us singing the songs of the Lord. We need to sing the songs of the Lord going down the road in our car. We need to get our children like these mothers did. Sharon took these children, teach them to dance and worship the Lord. And like Susan took my grandchildren and taught them to dance and sing to the Lord. You know, I mean, that because when you sing it, you never forget it. How many of you can remember every old rock and roll song you sung when you were a teenager? Don't you wish we could get that garbage out of our mind, but we can't. Because when you sing it, you never forget it. And that's what God told Moses. And when they get in trouble, they'll remember these songs about me. And they will sing. So parents, if nothing else, Mother, on this Mother's Day, you just make a decision. The garbage is going in the garbage, and we're bringing praise and worship into our home and into our life. And we're going to teach our children to sing the songs of the Lord. And when they get in trouble, they're going to sing those songs. Okay. We have to teach our children to do warfare. Children are not born knowing how to fight the devil. They have to see their parents do it, and we have to sit down. Let me just ask you, how many of you mothers, you sit down every day and you teach your children how the Word? Every day. It's what the Bible says to do. Every day. You teach them how the Word. That takes a huge sacrifice of your time. But it is the most important thing you will do for your child. It's more important than the meals you make them. It's more important than all the ball games and stupid stuff like that you take them to. It's more important than dance classes. It's more important than everything for you to sit down with that Bible and teach your children the Word every day. And so, teach them how to, the next thing we're going to teach our children is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is such an awesome thing. What the fear of the Lord is, it's to hate evil and love Jesus. That's what, and the Bible says when we have the fear of the Lord in us, that it will protect us from every evil. And when we teach our children the fear of the Lord, you hate drugs because they'll kill you. We don't drink beer. It'll kill you. We don't smoke cigarettes. It'll kill you. We hate it. But we love Jesus and we love His Word. We love doing things with our friends that are Christians. We love to go fishing together. We love to dance together. We love to sing together. There are more things you can love doing together with your children and teaching them the things that they love. And at the same time, teach them to hate evil. I was telling a person the other day, this person had committed a terrible sin. And I said, if you had hated that sin, you wouldn't have done it. I said, because you hate this sin. I listed a worse sin. You would never do that sin. They said, no. And I said, if you don't hate sin, you will commit that sin. You got to teach your children to hate sin. Love sinners. We love people. People are not sin. We love people no matter what they do, but we hate sin, and we stand up and we tell people we hate sin. And the Bible says that if you love God and you hate evil, He will anoint you with joy above all of your fellows. All right, the next thing that we need to do is we need to teach them that God will always take care of them. It says in the Bible, even if my mother and father forsake me, God will take me up and take care of me. Children need to always understand child's greatest fear is that they will lose their parents. They need to understand that it don't matter if you lose your parent, God's going to pick you up and take care of you. The Bible promises you that. We need to teach them that their life is very short, and they have a great destiny. From the minute they're born, you begin to tell them, you were born to do something great for God. You were not born to be a plumber, an electrician, a nurse, a doctor. You were born to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can do it while you're a plumber, and you can do it while you're an electrician, and you can do it as a nurse or a school, but you were born to preach the gospel. And nobody can do it like you can do it. Nobody. Nobody can do it like you can do it. And you can convince them because your children believe everything you tell them. They really do up until they get to be teenagers, and they don't believe nothing you tell them. But they get over being teenagers. I tell people all the time, there is life after teenagers. Okay, the next thing we need to teach our children is teach them to pray. Because, and Thelma's going to do this great, the Bible says that whatever you ask in prayer believing, you're going to receive. What a great promise. If a child knows that they're going to pray and God's going to answer it, how much do you think they're going to pray? How much do you think time they're going to spend praying? I remember the Lord told me one time, way after I was grown and had kids, said, if you really believe that I would answer your prayers, you'd sure spend a lot more time praying. Okay, the next thing we need to teach our children is about their greatest helper, the Holy Spirit. The power of God is the Holy Spirit. You need to make sure your children are saved in a very early age. Every year they're not saved is less a chance they will be saved. You need to teach your children how to be filled with the Holy Spirit at a very early age. When the Holy Spirit comes into your child, the greatest power in the universe lives inside of them. The Bible says when we don't know what to pray for and we don't know what to do, you just start praying in tongues. And the Holy Ghost just goes out and does it. You need to teach them not to be afraid of spiritual things. Not run with the crowd that makes fun of spiritual things. Stay away from kids that make fun of spiritual things. They don't want to be like that. They want to pursue God with all their heart. And teach them. And you make sure before they reach teenage years that they're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because they're going to need it so desperately. Because see, children make mistakes in their teenage years they have to pay for the rest of their life. They get addicted to drugs, alcohol, tobacco, marry the wrong person. Do all kind of stuff that God will forgive you for, but you pay a terrible price for it later on in life. So if you can avoid all that pain and for them, all you've got to do is make sure your children are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit at an early age and teach them to hear God for themselves so they don't need you anymore. All they need you for is a best friend. They've got God to guide their life and direct their life and talk to them and teach them from that point on.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. You did a great job. Well, Cricket may argue with you about me. But your mom, thank you for... Mama really believes that. Our whole life she has taught us all those principles. And man, I get to sit back now and just enjoy having all that instilled in me. But man, it just is so easy now to just know what a good mama is. Do I have a good mama? Yes. Yes. Now, I have some big shoes to fill, so I'm not going to say it's easy and I do everything right. But man, Mama, thank you. Thank you for being that friend to me. Thank you for walking through those seasons of life with me. And thank you for introducing me to the Heavenly Father at such a young age. Now, Mom and Dad, you guys also let me hear the voice of God at a really early age. They taught me how to hear that voice. And I'm telling you, I pray that every night over our kids, God, at a young age, I want these kids to know your voice and to follow your voice so that they never have to know. Is that God? Is that God talking to me? No. I want them to know it. And she did, and he did, and I thank y'all so much. So happy Mother's Day, Mom. God has a great life plan for us mamas. Would you agree? Yes, he does. But the day in, day out, sometimes we question that. Or I did, I would say. But man, he does. He has a great life. His plans for us are good and not evil. And if we follow his plan, we will have great joy. Mama, do you have great joy? All six of your kids live for God. And all six of your kids want to be just like you and Dad. And I'm telling you, I can't wait till all my kids look at me and say, Mama, thank you. Thank you. And they're serving God. And they are now, but I want to see it through the teenage years and that college years. So this morning I'm talking about joyful mamas. And I want to start off with Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. That word purpose means joy. So let's read it that way. To everything there is a season, a time for every joy under heaven. See, in my 20s, I left home. Dad kind of helped me direct. Mom and Dad both directed me into what they felt God called me to do. And man, I went and studied that. And in my 20s, God fulfilled a lot of my dreams. When I was in I think it was first or second grade. I cannot remember, but we were living in East Camden. And I was laying out on the porch. We had some steps going down. And I was laying there looking at the stars. And I saw all these planes going by that night. And God spoke to me. And he said, Rachel, you are going to travel the world. Someday you're going to be on planes traveling the world. So in my 20s, man, every time I got on that plane, I'd say, God, thank you. You are so faithful. You told me that when I was a little bitty girl. And look, in my 20s, you're fulfilling that dream in my life. God, you're so good. And I was going and I lived in California and worked for some ministries, and it was so fun and joyful. And then that season of my life started coming to a close in my late 20s. And I got married, and I was happy to be married after that first year. It took about a year to find that joy. But after that, I started, I didn't find myself on the planes anymore. I found myself in the rocking chair for years. I was pregnant, rocking a baby for years, and I'd call Mama. I'm like, Mama, how did you do it? Where is the joy? And I hate to say, it shames me, but I hate to say, but it took about 6 months for me to let go of that purpose in my 20s and be like, okay, God, you're asking that of me, but your plans are good and they're not evil. And I'm going to find greater joy. And I kept saying that I'm going to find greater joy, greater contentment. And I did. And man, my 30s were awesome. I enjoyed my babies and I enjoyed sitting in those rocking chairs listening to God. And I found my joy in the Word and studying the Word. And then my 30s started coming to an end about a year ago. And I woke up to a new season. And my babies didn't want to be rocked anymore. I begged and begged them, please. And they were done with that. And Mama had to find a new purpose real quick. Say, Daddy's gone a lot. And so I said, God, I know I'm created for more. I just don't see the purpose. And so God is so faithful. He's so faithful to come and give you that new purpose, because in that purpose is your joy, your greatest joy. And so about last fall, God spoke that joy to me. Actually, God spoke it to him. God came to Brian and told him it bore witness, because my father has said it over me my whole life. But I didn't see it, and it scared me. Well, there's a woman in the Bible that was in a season where the angel of the Lord came to her and said, Mary, Do not fear, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. For with God all things are possible. And so Mary, God knew that Mary believed the God of the impossible. But Mary was like, how is this going to be? I don't even know a man. Mary didn't go out and find Joseph. She didn't go out and try to make this happen. No, I believe she lifted her hands and said, be it unto me according to your word. And that's all God expects you when he speaks the promise, moms, over your life. And he's in that season where it's getting routine and it's getting mundane and you just feel like the servant. God will speak that purpose into your life. And you're just supposed to lift your hands and say, be it unto me according to your word, not my way. I'm not going to go out shopping and do what the world says to find happiness. Go get my toes done and just run around with my girlfriends. No, God has a way. And he will fulfill the purposes in your life in that season if you do it his way. And so you have to know, you have to believe. But the other thing Mary did is she knew that she was favored. She went to Elizabeth's house. She followed what God told her to do and said, go to Elizabeth's house. She walked in, and before the greeting came out of her mouth, it said that the Holy Spirit came into that place and it was filled with joy. And the baby and Elizabeth leaped for joy. That's what God wants out of our life, for us to believe him to do the work. And then it happens. But mamas, we've got to go through that season of faith, and we've got to live a faithful life in front of our children. And we got to be happy every day. We got to wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. If I'm washing the dishes, if I'm folding the clothes, whatever that is, there is joy in that day because he has a plan for your life. And Elizabeth said to Mary, Mary, the reason you are favored is because you believed him. Mamas, she believed what God said was true. So in these seasons, and you can't fear, because then you have Sarah, who when God spoke to Abraham and said, I want to make you a great nation, like Mom was talking about, God saw Abraham and Sarah. It was, the blessing was over both. Mamas, when God calls your family, he's called you. We have purpose, Mama. We birth the promises into this world, over our children, over the next generation. And Mamas, when he came to Abraham, of course Sarah was trying to make it happen because she wouldn't get pregnant. That season became so long. She went from 65 to 89. That's a long season of not having that baby. So she tried to give Hagar to Abraham, and God said, no, Sarah, you're my covenant. I'm making this covenant with you. Sarah, Isaac always was your child. Isaac was always yours. He's going to be the greatest joy in your life. Just believe me. And Sarah feared. I don't know. I asked Mama earlier, would you want to have a baby at 89? I know, Mama. I struggled too. I said, God, please don't wait that long. You know? But I believe we kind of control a little of that. Because I believe if you can raise your hands every morning and say, be it unto me according to your word, and do it his way, mamas, follow his path for your life. Don't follow what the world says brings joy. You follow what he says, because it is like Mom says, we're raising up this next generation. And God knew Sarah and Abraham would be faithful to teach Isaac. And Isaac would be faithful, and they would go on and on. And we today reap the covenant because they were faithful. So moms, we have to be faithful to continue in that mundane routine. And like Solomon wrote the Ecclesiastes where he said that. In every season, there is a joy. And that was later in his life. And Solomon built the temple. He did some great things for the Lord, but he lacked joy. And the joy should be in every season. And it should get better and better and better. But you have to know what he's saying, moms. Every day you got to say it to yourself, what am I created to do? It's to praise you and to be faithful to what you've called our family to be. And I'm going to speak this. Mom and Dad spoke over my life every day who I was going to be. And I know that's coming. I know, even though I can't see it, I refuse to let seasons make me depressed and beat me down. I'm going to raise my hands and I'm going to say, be it unto me according to your word. Moms, I want you to do the same every season. When the kids come, in that season, when the kids go, you know you have a purpose and you find it and you'll find your greatest joy.
Praise the Lord. Wasn't that good? Praise God. Well, this morning, I'm going to be talking about praying mothers. How many of you know, nobody can pray like a mama? I'm telling you, let's give mamas a hand because they are some praying people. And you know what? I know you've seen those animal stories on television where when someone gets close to that baby, that animal's baby, I'm telling you, they will tear your head off. Amen. And you know what? That's the way mothers are about their children. But you know what? I think God gave us these children to teach us how to be prayer warriors. How many of y'all know believe that? Because we have to pray. We have to pray and do warfare over our children. Amen. And you know, mothers know that the powerful effect of warfare prayer. You know, the Bible tells us that the effectual, fervent, the fiery prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Amen. It makes much prayer power available. I'm telling you, how many of you ever heard of a Hudson Taylor? He was a famous missionary to China. Well, anyway, when Hudson grew up in a godly home where he was taught prayer, he was taught the word of God. And so he knew about God, but you know, he didn't know God. When he became a teenager, he strayed away from God. And so that just, his mother was just so upset about it, but she just said, I'm going to get hold to God. And so she began to pray fervently, over Hudson's life. And she said she would pray hours every day. She just would not give up. And you know what? You know, the enemy had to loose him and let him go. He had to loose him and let him go because, you know, the rest of everything he did is history now. He established over 205 missionary stations, over 800 missionaries, and over 125,000 Chinese-speaking Christians in the 19th century. That's because a mother prayed. You know, we have mothers, we have got to pray. We don't let a day go by. We pray. Sometimes we pray all day. Sometimes we pray all night. Amen. We are praying for our children's lives. And we're just saying, devil, you are not going to have my children. You are not going to have my children. I'm telling you, and you know, you have to pray for some more than you do others. I mean, we had to pray a lot for all of them. We had four of them, but I'm telling you, my oldest son, Anthony, he was the one that we had to do a lot of warfare prayer over. You know, Anthony was kind of like a late bloomer. And we was like, God, when is he going to snap? When is he going to come? But we knew it was coming. Amen. Because you don't give up. You continue to pray and believe God over your children and you let nothing stop you. Amen. But I'm telling you, God, you seek the word, you seek God, God will give you answers. I mean, so many precious promises in the word of God, but I'm just going to share a couple of them with you today. Isaiah 49, 24 and 25. That was one of my war clubs over the enemy. This is what it says. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? You know, that's asking a question. I mean, here is the prey. Your child is the prey. Your child has gone into drugs and gone into disobedience. And he is the prey. He is the hunted. He is the person that's captured by the enemy. And you know, and the mighty is considered the devil. It's considered the predator. He's the hunter. That's the question. Shall he be taken from the mighty? And then it says, are the lawful captive delivered? But thus says the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when the Lord says something, you know, things are going to change. When God says something, everything is going to change. And so that was the part that I was standing on. This is what it says. But thus said the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. Yes, they're going to be taken away from the hands of the enemy. And it says, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Everybody say, shall be delivered. Yes, they shall be delivered. And see, that terrible, you know, people say, oh, that crystal meth, that's terrible. How many of y'all know it is terrible? That crack cocaine, that is terrible. But thus said the Lord, he says, even the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. He says, but I will contend with him who contends with you. I mean, no, that's the devil contending with you and your family over your children. The devil is the one that's contending. And that word contend, it's a warfare word. It means he's going to chastise the devil. Amen. Amen. How many of you need the devil to be chastised for your family? Amen. He says he will rebuke the devil. Hallelujah. And he says he will contend with him that contends with you. And he says, and I will save your children. Amen. Glory to God. Let's give the Lord a hand. He's saving our children. He will save them. That's hope. But they are saved. Amen. That's faith. That's faith. And so I just want to tell you today that Anthony is delivered. He's set free. And he's working with a youth ministry in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to give you another little short testimony. Actually, it's about mothers that are persistent in prayer, that refuse to give up in prayer. Amen. And you know, the Bible says the thief, how many know it's the devil? He's the one that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to steal your children away from you. He wants to try to kill your children. And he wants to try to destroy their lives. But you know, mothers are saying, no, devil. Okay, y'all say that. No, devil. I mean, we got to practice saying that. They say it again. No, devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, when Chris, everybody knows the testimony, some of his testimony, that Chris got shot. And though what it was, and it wasn't with just a rifle or a pistol, it was with an AK-47. And so anyway, when that happened, Donald was working down in Magnolia. He was going to college during the day. And then when he got out of school, he would go to work at the Magnolia Hospital. So I was at home lying on the sofa watching Christian television. And you know, mothers, we've got to know how to hear God. We got to know how to hear the voice of God. And I heard the voice of God tell me, you know, turn the TV off and start praying. And I said, I'm going to pray in the spirit until Donald gets home. That's what I did. I went in the bedroom and I started praying. I started praying in the spirit. And I was praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And then Donald got home probably about 10 o'clock. So the next morning, I was at school, and then some kids, I was in chapel, some kids said, Miss McRae, Mr. McRae is outside. And so I went out. I said, what are you doing here? Are you supposed to be at school? He said, Chris was shot. Then I thought, well, he got shot in the arm or the leg. He said, no, he got shot in the abdomen. You know, and Satan started trying to put imaginations. You know, Satan tried to kill him. But, you know, I knew that God had a destiny and a plan for Chris's life. And you know what? I found out that Chris was shot at the very time that I was praying in the spirit. So, mamas, we've got to hear the voice of God. And we've got to hear. We've got to be more than hearers, though. We've got to be doers of the word. Amen. We've got to learn how to pray in the spirit. We got to learn how to pray with the understanding. But most of all, we got to learn how to pray and obey. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, God delivered Chris and God set him free. But I'm telling you, because of prayer, faith, and I'm telling you, God is a good God. And he honors mothers who pray and do warfare prayer over their children. So, you know, we're just going to just pray until the devil looses them and lets them go. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We're going to go to the Lord now, and I want you to, if you would, close your eyes. And I want to ask you this morning, if you know that you are a mother and even a father, and you are not being faithful to teach your children the Word of God, you're not sitting down with them every day. See, Jesus said, sit down with them in the morning, on your way everywhere you go, and at night, and talk to them about God. If you know you're not doing that, I want you to ask the Lord to forgive you. I want you to ask the Lord to forgive you, because see, He gave you that precious child and He trusted you to turn the heart of that child to the ways of God. And the way you do it is by talking to Him every single day about how wonderful God is. And you, if you're not doing that, I want you to ask the Lord to forgive you. And He will. His blood will wash every sin away. And then ask Him to give you the strength and the power to strengthen you in your inner man by His Spirit to begin to do that with your children. And to treat your children like they are the most valuable possession that you have. They're more valuable than your job, your car, your home, your fishing rods, your closet full of shoes. They are your most valuable, and treat them that way. And then second, I want to ask you, if you've been depressed and sad and lonely all the time and just thinking about, you know, how you wish things were different, I want you to ask the Lord to give you the oil of joy for the spirit of mourning. Depression is a demonic spirit, and you have the power to kick it out of your life with the blood of Jesus. And you say, from this day forward, I'm not going to allow the devil to make me sad. I am going to take the oil of joy, and I am going to rejoice in the stage of life I am in now. I'm going to find my joy right here. Because when it's gone, it's gone. You can't get it back. So many mothers grow up, and as they get older and wiser, they look back and wish they'd done things different with their children. You can't ever get that time back. So do something now. Do it now. Become a joyful mother. Be full of the joy of the Lord and teach your children that the Lord always has good things for them. So if you need to ask the Lord to forgive you for allowing the enemy to make you sad all the time, and if you need to ask the Lord to help you to be full of the joy of the Lord, you do that right now. And then the last thing is, ask the Lord to make you a prayer warrior. God will do whatever you ask Him to do if you believe. The problem with God doing things for us is we just don't take time and pray and ask Him. Or we ask Him one time and He don't do it right then and we give up. Or worse, we get mad at God. Instead of knowing that warfare prayer is you pray until the answer comes. And you cast the demons out that are standing between you, your children getting what God has promised them. You be a devil caster outer. There's no greater joy than getting on your knees and saying, "You spirit of fear, I command you to get off my children. You spirit of lust, I command you, you leave my child. I have the authority over that child in the name of Jesus and the blood, and lest you will not attack my child." There is no greater joy than going in your prayer garden and just kicking the devil off of your children and coming out knowing God does whatever you believe. That He, see, when you pray the Lord's Prayer every day, you say, "Deliver us from evil." And you say, "Deliver my children from evil." If you believe when you pray that, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. If you don't believe He's not going to do it, He can't do anything for you. See? It's so important that you believe God will do what He said He will do. And then you pray and ask Him to do it every day. Every day. And Father, I want to thank You for every mother that is here. Because they're here, they're proving You're the most important thing in their life. They have taken this one day of the year that is to celebrate them, and they gave it to You. And I want to thank You for all of these mothers that are here today. And I want to thank You, Lord, for strengthening them in their inner spirit with Your Spirit. To be able to be joyful mother of children, to teach their children to love You and to pray for their children and deliver them from every evil that Satan would bring against them. Thank You for these mothers, Lord. I feel like that the next generation is in very good hands with this group of mothers that we have here today. And I just want to say this one more thing about you mothers that have adopted children or taken on grandchildren. You're doubly blessed. Because, you know, when you get pregnant and you have a child, you kind of have to raise that child whether you want to or not. But a mother that takes on a child that wasn't hers and raises it is really an extraordinary mother. And you're going to get a double blessing. And, you know, if you see mothers like that, single mothers, mothers that are struggling, have no help from a father, you need to help them. You need to give them money when you see they need money. If the church is going on youth trips and they don't have money to send their kid, you need to pay for their kids to go. We need to help mothers that are single mothers and mothers that have taken on a family to raise, you know, that they didn't birth, because they're extra special. And Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you for all of your wonderful blessings that you've given us. If there's anybody here this morning and you're not saved, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, this morning is the time to do it. You become God's child this morning. Anybody here want to give your heart to the Lord? We want to pray. Just raise your hand if you're not saved and you want to give your heart to the Lord this morning. Anybody here? Okay, wonderful. You're all God's children. And one thing we know about Him, He is a good Father. Hallelujah.